From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is a special live evening edition of On Point. Terror, horror, and unspeakable grief today in Newtown, Connecticut, after a young gunman walked into Sandy Hook Elementary School and killed 20 children and 6 adults and himself. It was among the most deadly mass shootings in American history. The whole story is still emerging, but the outline is too clear and too familiar. This hour, in a special edition of On Point, today's horror in Connecticut, what we must learn, what we must do. You can join the conversation. Why does this keep happening? What are you telling your kids tonight, telling yourself? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here's a mother of a child who was in the school during the shooting today. She told NPR that her son told her of what happened there. This is Melissa Mekoris.
He heard loud noises, loud voices. He heard snapping, is what he described. And he said that the gym teachers scooted them right away from the doors and into a corner, and they had to sit there very, very quietly. And some policemen came in and said that they were going to get out of the building and they needed to run.
They needed to run. You can join this live conversation this evening in a special edition of On Point. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Connecticut, let us hear in particular from you. 800-423-8255. What do you see in these headlines in today's terrible death toll? Joining me first tonight from Newtown, Connecticut, scene of the shooting, is Jeff Cohen, correspondent for Public Radio's WNPR. He's been on this story all day. Jeff Cohen, welcome to On Point. Thank you for joining us on this terrible day.
Hi, Tom.
What's the latest that we know about the shooter, Adam Lanza? His name has been out there for hours now, but not so much detail. What do we know at this point?
Well, I'll say a couple things. There's been a lot of confusion as to the name. There's been another name, frankly, Tom, that I'm a little hesitant to say, because there's been confusion again as to who the shooter was. There was a lot of reports of another Lanza who was the shooter. Those reports apparently have been retracted. Where I've been all day, Tom, since this morning, is at a media staging area.
Yep.
We've heard the press briefings. And the last we heard from state police was, you may not hear from us until the morning when it comes to the identity of the shooter, despite all of the news reports. That has to do with however they're seeking their search warrants and their own processes. So we don't have any formal identification from state law enforcement on the identity of the shooter.
I mean, the name that is everywhere at this point is Adam Lanza. There were reports out of New Jersey today, some confusion. Maybe they had gone after his brother. Maybe his identity was found on the body of the dead gunman in the school. I know not all of this may be conveyed in the media center, and we should be very clear that there are many details that are not confirmed here, and I appreciate the care you're taking. The story that is widely in currency is that Adam Lanza, was 20, that his mother, Nancy, was a teacher at the school. There's confusion about where she was found. Some stories with police saying she was found in her Newtown home. Stories that there were psychological issues with the alleged gunman here. Also, on the gun front, that there was a Sig Sauer handgun, a Glock handgun. I'm reading different things about the assault rifle that was found there. Are the authorities talking about the weapons that were involved, Jeff?
They were not in a position in an earlier briefing to identify them. And you'll appreciate, Tom, as I know you do, the little bubble that I'm in here at this media center. You're right that Adam Lanza is the most recent name. It is the second name, though, to be identified as the shooter. The first name was Mr. Lanza's brother.
Right. Some confusion about that. Maybe that ID found on the body. I mean, parents are saying that 100 rounds must have been fired. Pop, 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 on and on and on. Have the police talked about where the shootings happened in this school or the duration of the firing?
Not to the duration. To a certain extent, what the police have said is that, if I recall, that the shootings took place in roughly the same section of the building in two if not classrooms, then separate rooms. I was closer to the school than I am now early this morning as parents were picking up their kids, Tom, just to back up a little if I could.
Yes, please.
And parents were, you know, streaming down this hill. You couldn't get anywhere, obviously, anywhere near it. And this was probably about an hour and 40 minutes after the shots were fired. And there were, you know, parents were there on foot to pick up their kids and walk to their vehicles as far and which were obviously, which were just nowhere in sight. And I spoke with one man, and his little boy was a third grader. And, as the parent of two young kids myself, in Connecticut schools,
yes,
you asked at the top, you know, what are you saying to your kids? And I haven't gone home to see mine yet. And I really have no idea what I'll say, frankly, as many people I'm sure are in the same situation. But anyhow, I spoke with this man who said, at that point, he knew that a teacher had been shot. He knew that a principal had been shot, one of the two potentially fatally. But there was no sense of this number, of this magnitude, of this scale that we now know to be the case. And things were still unfolding, obviously. And then shortly thereafter, within minutes, I went to my car. I was parked behind a church, which abutted a wooded area. And as I'm there, I see three state troopers and a police dog walking through the woods, sort of combing the woods. It was an eerie feeling that even though now I know that at that point things were mostly secure, they hadn't been formally named secure or declared secure as a site, that the crime investigation was still ongoing. And, you know, nearly 2 hours later, there was still some uncertainty there.
So when you saw parents leaving the scene, what, with their children, they were not fully aware of what had happened inside?
They were aware that there were two people had been shot, according to this one parent. He did not know that whether students had been shot.
Boy, the numbers have just gone up and up. Of course, 20 at this point, six other adults in there. We're reading here the principal, though so much unconfirmed. I mean, at the time that report came out, her own family didn't know. They were seeing this on Twitter. So in all of these things, we report with caution. There's the report that the gunman showed up dressed all in black, wearing body armor. Have authorities spoken to that, Jeff?
They really haven't, Tom. They've been more cautious than I have, I suppose, just in releasing details because they're stressing that it's still under investigation.
It's quite fair, and yet a lot is coming out, and we stress that there's much that's not confirmed. ABC News is reporting that the brother told authorities that his brother, Adam, had a personality disorder. What exactly that means remains to be seen. Have they confirmed that the gunman's mother was among the dead?
I'm going to have to think. You know, I'm not. I don't know the answer to that, Tom. It's things are starting to get a little hazy after a while out here.
It's very understandable.
I don't want to. I don't want to put myself on a limb and answer it incorrectly. I apologize.
That's quite all right. So you're hearing from authorities that their next detailed report may be not until tomorrow morning, Jeff.
What we heard at around the 5 o'clock briefing, and that the governor, Governor Daniel Malloy, governor of the state of Connecticut, came and spoke at 6 o'clock, and there were general remarks that didn't speak to the criminal investigation at all. And then there was no subsequent police briefing, which I had sort of expected. Go ahead.
Governor calling this a tragedy of unspeakable terms, and I think on that everybody can agree today. Jeff Cohen, we've got more to get to here, but we're very grateful to you for being with us from Newtown, Connecticut, the scene of these terrible, terrible shootings today. Jeff Cohen with WNPR, Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network. Jeff, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Tom.
Here's an unidentified parent talking today about his shock over what happened. This is courtesy of WTNH-TV.
It was shocking. I got the call at work this morning, and I can't believe a small town like this would ever have anything like this happen.
Julian Ford is with us right now from Unionville, Connecticut, psychologist, professor in the psychiatry department at the University of Connecticut, expert on trauma and children. Julian Ford, we just heard the reporter who's headed home to his own young children tonight, doesn't know what to tell them. What do you advise parents to tell their children who are nowhere near Newtown, Connecticut, but children are listening, they're watching? What should parents say?
Well, Tom, that's exactly the right question. And what we first need to know or start off by thinking is that children know pretty much everything.
Yeah.
They shouldn't know the graphic details. There's no question about that. But they know that something has happened, and they can tell that from how their parents are reacting, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the question of what to say is, it's really important to be very basic here. Parents can tell their children that something very bad has happened, and children will recognize that that's exactly what they're seeing on their parents' faces, that's what they're hearing in their voices, and that what's most important at this very moment is that we in this family make sure that each of us and our family is safe. And that's the simple message that I think most children want to hear, even teenagers who don't want to hear much of anything from their parents. They want to know at this moment that everyone recognizes that we all need to make sure that we're safe, because tragically this can happen anywhere.
Tell them we're safe. It can happen anywhere. Is it true that we're safe?
We're only as safe as we are able to be aware. And it's really an irony, Tom, that 2 days ago on Wednesday, the Attorney General received a report from a task force that he commissioned on children exposed to violence. And that task force very specifically said that there is no family and no community in this country that can be completely immune from violence.
We see that today. Julian Ford, stand by. 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. This is a special edition of On Point on the shootings in Connecticut. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, a special live evening edition of On Point in response to the terrible shootings today in Newtown, Connecticut, and Sandy Hook Elementary School there, a school of nearly 720 young students. This school only went up to fourth grade. Young students killed today in that school. Half a dozen, six adults victims there, and the gunman himself dead inside that school. You can join the conversation in this hour. We'd be glad to hear from you. What do you see in these headlines? What do you see in today's terrible death toll? What now? What now, Connecticut? What now, America, after this drumbeat of killings? This is hardly the first. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Though by one list I'm seeing here today, at this point, this would be right up there. Among the deadliest mass shootings in American history, right behind Virginia Tech, at least by one count here, and down they go, one after another after another. 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Julian Ford joins us from UConn, the University of Connecticut, the psychology department there, Department of Psychiatry. He's a psychologist expert on child trauma. President spoke about this today at the White House, seemed to choke up more than once as he recounted the lives lost.
The majority of those who died today were children. Beautiful little kids between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. They had their entire lives ahead of them. Birthdays, graduations, weddings, kids of their own. Among the fallen were also teachers, men and women who devoted their lives to helping our children fulfill their dreams. So our hearts are broken today.
The President of the United States, who's dealt with a lot, struggling to keep his composure there, and it is entirely understandable. The camera's clacking away. The president sort of caught in his own emotions there. Here's the father of a student at the school, Sandy Hook Elementary, describing to MSNBC his reaction to the shooting today.
I could try to explain it, but I'm sure I would fail. There's no words that there's no words that I could come up with that would even come close to describing the sheer terror of hearing that your son is in a place, or your child was in a place, where there's been violence. You don't know the details of that violence. You don't know the condition of your child, and you can't do anything to immediately help them or protect them. It is a powerless and terrifying experience.
Gunshot after gunshot after gunshot there today, and so many dead. Mae Jin is calling from New London, Connecticut. Mae Jin, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm not so well this evening. I think no one can feel too good this evening with this news standing right in front of us. What do you think, Mae Jin?
I agree. I definitely agree. My first point is, yes, gun control should be addressed, but also I feel as though prisoners are safer than our own children in school. I don't have any kids, but I feel like if you were to go visit someone in jail, you would have to get, you know, stripped down. You go through metal detectors. This could never happen in a prison, correct?
But we can't live in a prison, can we, Mae Jin? I mean, lots and lots of schools have locked doors now. Lots of schools have security drills. Even kids where nothing has ever happened have to go through these
detectors. You know? How did he enter the school without any type of metal detectors? Or because I've seen school in you know, the inner cities, they have metal detectors so that when, because these kids are in gangs and they're involved in all types of things. So, you know, you have to, before someone comes in, if you're a visitor, there has to be a way where you have to look, you know, check that person out before they get in. I think that's very important because you don't want to live in a prison, but you need to do something. We need to do something to address that situation. Like, how do you balance it out? I don't know, but there has to be a way where there's only one entry and, you know, there's metal detectors and everyone has to be scrutinized, unfortunately.
This was far from an inner city neighborhood. This was wooded. This is, you know, a little school in the countryside. Somebody called it today, far from the inner city, and metal detectors, I don't think so. We'll pick that up, Mae Jin. Let me get Jared in North Haven, Connecticut. Jared, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. Hi, I just wanted to talk about my fear, you know, after the past month of all these violent acts, you know, the two incidents in New York and then, you know, the 22-year-old shooter at the mall in Oregon.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's more to blame than video games, than mental illness and even guns. And I fear, you know, as our generation, I'm 24 years old, as our generation gets older, we might see more things like this. You know, I just fear for our generation turning into adults.
Why? Why do you? You're 24. Why are you more fearful as your generation grows into adulthood, Jared?
Just seeing, you know, just the lack of empathy. I mean, the incidents in New York, though, with excluding those, you know, because that was an adult that pushed the man into the subway, and you know, the execution style shooting in Midtown at 2 p.m. that was an adult. But the 22-year-old, you know, opening fire in a mall, and then a 24-year-old, you know, shooting innocent children. It's just those two incidents in particular just seem absolutely careless. You know, just no empathy whatsoever.
Jared, let us hope not. But let me take that to Julian Ford. Julian, I mean, you look at children and trauma. You could make the case that in our heavy media age, with everything going on in the world, Jared's sort of making the case that we have a generation that's seen a lot of that. What about empathy in a generation? Is that going too far here? I mean, we've had mass killings for a long time in this country, and certainly not only young people as perpetrators.
I think Jared's right, and I think you're right, Tom, that at this point, kids are seeing way too much. There's no way to prevent it, and yet the exposure itself. One of the things that witnessing or even knowing about acts of violence such as this, one of the effects that it has is it can lead us to become emotionally numb. We can literally lose or almost lose the capacity to experience the kind of shock and terror that parents are now experiencing in the moment. But a few days later, it can turn into a kind of a numbness and almost a resignation.
What does that suggest in terms of talking with our children? Show your emotion so that you don't encourage numbness in them? Or does does adult emotion drive them into numbness because it's overwhelming?
Well, you said it. It's a question of how much and what, because no emotion is actually one of the most terrifying things for young children. On the other hand, being overwhelmed by a parent or an adult's emotion, that also can be terrifying and can be more than a child can handle. So it's that amazingly delicate middle ground where Kids know that we're having feelings. We can't hide them. On the other hand, they can't be responsible, and we can't make kids responsible for protecting us or for healing our distress and our wounds and our feelings. So it's that middle ground where we are real about what we're feeling, and at the same time, we're also able to genuinely let our children know that we know how to make them safe, even though we can't always be perfect in doing that.
I'm no expert, but I don't want my children to think I'm ever inured to something like this. Saeed is calling from Tampa, Florida. Saeed, you're on the air, Saeed.
Hi, Tom, yes.
What are you thinking?
You know, I cannot comprehend the enormity of this incident. I cannot understand that how many innocent people have to give up their life for these our politicians to recognize the importance of gun control. These are innocent kids under 10 years old. The argument that if we provide guns to everybody and there will be less violence, these kids could not have guns and they cannot protect themselves. I don't know when the America is going to wake up to take care of our innocent people.
Saeed in Tampa, thank you for your call. Julian Ford, please stand by in Connecticut. I want to bring another guest into our conversation. John Rosenthal joins me now in the studio. He's co-founder of Stop Handgun Violence. It's a nonprofit dedicated to the prevention of gun deaths and injuries. John Rosenthal, welcome.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm sorry to have you here on such a sad day. I've got a list here in front of me from Reuters, the news service, of deadly shootings just in this year. Just this year. April 2nd, gunman kills 7 people, wounds 3 in a Christian college in Oakland. July 20, mass gunman kills 12, wounds 58 when he opens fire. This is the famous Batman, killing in Aurora outside Denver, Colorado. 12 dead, 58 wounded. August 5th, gunman kills 6 during Sunday services at a Sikh temple, the one in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, before he shot dead. August 24th, 2 are killed, 8 wounded in a shooting right outside the Empire State Building. Peak of tourist season there. September 27th, all of these are just this year, John. Disgruntled former employee kills 5, takes his own life in a shooting rampage in Minneapolis. October 21st, 3 killed in a Milwaukee area spa. And then he kills himself, the gunman. December 11th, gunman kills 2, wounds 1, kills himself at a mall where Christmas shopping is going on in Portland, Oregon. And then we have Sandy Hook Elementary School today. Now, I know you've been campaigning on gun regulation for a long time. Today, Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York, saying, come on, we're moved by this, but we need to be moved to action, he says. But is there any forward momentum on that front, John?
There hasn't been. And as you rattle off those recent mass shootings, just in the 2 years since Gabby Giffords was shot, along with others in Tucson, there have been 65 mass shootings.
What qualifies as mass? More than
one.
More than one, okay.
There are 150 people shot every day in America. 83 die every day in America from gunshot wounds, of which 8 are kids under 20. You know, we're here in Boston. You could fill Fenway Park 3 times over with the number of kids killed by guns in the last 30 years, 110,000. Now, these are children, and they're children who are supposed to be protected by adults.
Mei Jin says, put metal detectors at the doors of the school.
Why don't we start with universal background checks for firearms? Federal gun policy does not require a background check for assault weapons like we're used today. And at every mass shooting, you do not need a background check for gun sales unless you go to a gun store. It is perfectly legal in 33 states and 5,000 gun shows and pawn shops and flea markets to purchase military-style weapons, high-capacity ammunition clips, grenade launcher attachments for the Sig Sauer 223 that was used today, cash and carry, no ID or background check, unless you go to a gun store. So we can't be surprised. This is the world we've created in America where guns are unrestricted. Why would you be surprised that kids are getting killed?
We're not surprised, and that's part of the terrible point of this. But But, and there is still so much that's unconfirmed here, but there are plenty of reports out there now saying that these guns, the guns used today to kill all these children and these adults, and apparently, allegedly, the gunman's mother, belonged to his mother.
Well, I mean, there's a gun and...
For all we know, she bought them at a fully licensed store and went through all the background checks. I don't know, but...
Look, we're not safe. We have created an environment in this country. I mean, there are 14 times more deaths in this country from firearms than the 26 developed countries combined. So we have said unrestricted access to guns, and the result is 83 gun deaths a day. If you want to reduce injuries and deaths from guns, you want to keep your kids safer, ask Congress and the president to find their backbone and make mandatory background checks for all gun sales and renew the ban on assault weapons.
Let's get a call from Victor in Elgin, Illinois. Victor, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have a unique position, I think, as a former police officer.
Okay.
And in the daycare and preschool business for over 38 years. My family and I have responsibility, care, custody, and control of over 250 children from 6 weeks to 6 years.
It's a big responsibility.
And the state of Israel formerly had a big problem with terrorists attacking their elementary and high schools, and they found a viable solution in recruiting teachers who were willing and able to take on the responsibility of being trained and armed. And that terrorism in those schools has stopped. In 1988, in my state of Illinois, in the city of Winnetka, a woman by the name of Lori Dan, unbalanced woman, attacked two preschools and killed several children. And the state of Illinois reacted by outlawing guns in all daycare centers. Hey,
Victor, I get it, but let me ask you. I mean, here's Israel with a very, very particular history and a virtual war for decades on its doorstep. Do we have to go to that extreme? And, you know, so do we have to go to that extreme in this country, a peacetime country, without, you know, an enemy on our doorstep?
I mean, you have insanity and you have evil. And there is no way to stop that other than force on force at the scene. The policeman is only minutes away when seconds count. So the experience has been that the more responsible adults that you have that are able to carry concealed firearms, the less violent crime you have. And these magical gun-free zones, such as some of these, the mall in Colorado was a gun-free zone. You put up a sign that says no firearms allowed. That makes it a gun-free zone. That makes it a target-rich environment.
Are we going to hire teachers on the basis of their skill in marksmanship,
no,
Victor?
No, but you can recruit ones that are willing and able to take on that responsibility. But
Victor, we've got it. Our time is short before the break. Thank you for your call, John Rosenthal. Put a gun on the hip of the teachers.
Well, the states with lax gun laws have much higher injuries and deaths from guns than states with strict gun laws. Massachusetts is an urban industrial state.
Let's talk Connecticut. Let's talk Texas. Let's talk...
Well, I'm just saying, in Massachusetts, we're urban industrial. Yeah. We have the lowest firearm fatality rate in the nation, lower than any rural or urban state. So what we've proven is by creating an environment where there's responsibility and accountability on the part of gun owners like me, we have to lock our guns unless they're under direct control. Gun dealers have to operate out of a bona fide store. In most states, they can operate out of backpacks. Gun manufacturers have to build safety features into their guns. Smith & Wesson's the biggest in the country.
But people still live in terror of a gunman getting into the school, and then it's like a hunting preserve.
Well, it's because there's always been mental illness. There's always been evil. Yeah. The difference is we have now armed them without restriction, without detection. Law enforcement officers are issued a service revolver with 13 rounds.
Yeah.
But we say it's fine for madmen and criminals, and even Al-Qaeda comes to the U.S. to buy these military-style weapons with 100-round clips so they don't have to reload in order to shoot police officers.
In our country, we're on this day 20 very young children killed in school. 6 adults there. The gunman is dead. The story is still unfolding. Details still coming in. We'll go back to Connecticut for a further report on that front in just a moment. John Rosenthal with Stop Handgun Violence. Please stand by. Julian Ford at the University of Connecticut. Please stand by in Unionville. Listeners, you can join us. What do you see in today's terrible news. In today's terrible death toll, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is a special edition of On Point Live this evening, looking at the shooting rampage today at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, and asking, what now? What now after all these deaths today? 20 children dead in this school, 6 adult victims in the school, the gunman himself, his mother among the victims were seeing in reports coming in throughout the day. Still many details unclear, but the nation once again faced with a terrible mass killing, in this case one of the biggest in the history of the country, and an elementary school that only went to fourth grade. These were young children. You've seen the images of them fleeing today, sobbing in tears. You can join the conversation. We are live and on the air right now. What do you see in this news? What do you see in today's death toll? What now? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Julian Ford is with us from the University of Connecticut, a psychologist in the Department of Psychiatry there, expert on child trauma. John Rosenthal with Stop Handgun Violence is with us. And we go right now again to Newtown, Connecticut, where the shootings took place today, to Jivan Vital, reporter for WTIC-TV, the Fox affiliate out of Hartford, Connecticut. Jivan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
You've been at the hospital today. What did you see there? Were they bringing all of these bodies in?
Well, I was at the hospital this morning at Danbury Hospital, and hospital officials were basically keeping the media as far away from the emergency room as possible to maintain safety and security for a number of reasons, really. But hospital officials did tell me that 3 people were brought in, and at the time around 12 o'clock this afternoon, their conditions were not being released, but we just heard reports that the 2 of those victims were adults. Two of those victims were children, and 1 was an adult. And unfortunately, we're hearing that all 3 have now died as well.
The Hartford Courant reporting that the gunman was dressed in black fatigues, that his mother, Nancy Lanza, had worked at the school as a teacher, presumed dead at this point. I guess they called the gunman, the alleged gunman's grandmother in Florida. She was too distraught to speak. I mean, this is a terrible picture, and this is being reported. Jivan, from the Hartford Courant, that the shootings at the school, sources telling the Courant, took place in 2 rooms, one of which was a kindergarten classroom, and the Hartford Courant reporting that 1 entire classroom of children is unaccounted for.
Yeah, we've been hearing those reports as well. Our newsroom's actually, we share a newsroom with the Hartford Courant, and we've been hearing those reports as well. And to give you an idea, state police, in their briefings to the media, have been using words such as horrific and difficult, and crisis teams have been set up for first responders. And to give you an idea, these are the guys who go in, you know, to do this on a daily basis for a living, and they need crisis management and they need counseling. And that should give you an idea of the horrific scene that people in this town are facing. And Newtown is a very small, close-knit New England town, and for something like this to happen, everyone is shaken. Everyone feels this loss and this incredible tragedy that's going on here. And also, to give you another idea of the horrific scene at the school, an on-site morgue was set up there for quick identification of the victims of the of this tragedy. So really, you hear these details of these numbers, and once you see through them and you really process it, it's truly incredible to really comprehend what actually went on here today.
Parents, families, citizens gathering today, some in churches and elsewhere. I mean, you report for Fox. Mike Huckabee is one of your contributors there. Said, you know, this happened because we removed God from our schools. What do you say to that, Jivan?
Well, I can't really speak to that. We actually are a Fox affiliate, and Fox News Channel would be a separate entity, but they're entitled to their own opinions. But from where I stand here, seeing these parents being reunited with their children, having tears in their eyes, and these parents wanting nothing more than just to hold their kids and to tell them that I love you and it's okay. And for other parents here who unfortunately will not have that tonight for those children, those 20 children that were killed today, you can only imagine the horrific and just senseless violence that happened here today. And then the fact that these parents can can't hold their kids tonight and can't say I love you and can't go through, you know, the acts of a parent. These are kids between the ages of 5 and 10 that were at this school, and it's a school of about, give or take, 700 kids on any given day. And police here have been working around the clock from all facets of law enforcement to try and account for every single child at this school, whether or not they were among the victims or whether or not they had a sick day or didn't come to school for whatever reason. But right now, as far as here in Newtown goes, this is a community that's coming together. And frankly, they are all mourning. And I can safely say across the state from the people that I've spoken to and the messages I've personally been receiving from friends and family around the world, and I'm just covering this, but everyone seems to be affected by this tragedy, and this seems to have struck a chord with everybody. And tonight, we're all Connecticutans, and we're all mourning for the loss of life of a senseless act of violence.
Jevon Vital in Newtown, Connecticut with WTIC-TV out of Hartford. Thank you very much for being with us, Jevon.
Thank you.
Julian Ford with us from UConn, University of Connecticut. John Rosenthal from Stop Handgun Violence. I'm looking here at a report, New York Times picking up. Meredith Artley, a managing editor at CNN.com, had talked with someone who worked at the school, saying that she'd heard this pop, pop, popping going on, said that three people went out into the hall. I guess these were adults. Only one came back. This is a vice principal said. The vice principal, the only one who came back. Shot in the leg or the foot, crawling back in, cowered under a table, called 911, reporting this employee there, I guess, saying there must have been 100 rounds fired. Teresa in Omaha, Nebraska. Teresa, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have been watching President Obama crying on television at the press conference, and I can understand why he's crying. I'm crying. But I watched every debate of the presidential election. I watched a lot of the speeches, not one mention of gun control. And now we're reaping that lack of attention and cowardice, frankly, to address what needs to be done to save lives, many more lives than ever were lost on 9/11. And it's just very upsetting.
What do we do, Teresa, in a country? I mean, John Rosenthal says, you know, have everybody have background checks and more than that. But you know what an ocean of guns is already in this country. Sea to sea.
I know. This woman owned those guns, and she knew, apparently, that her son had a problem.
Yeah.
There was a shooting here in Omaha that the person obviously had a mental problem, and that's the other part of it. Our mental health care is horrible in this country, just horrible. And they have access to these guns through friends and the gentleman who said in Massachusetts, if you aren't using your gun or have a gun, it should be locked up. That needs to be done and seriously and aggressively enforced, because this is all. I myself have turned in a student who my son saw on a bus, said he was going to take a gun to school the next day, and I couldn't even get the police to take me seriously. I had to call a friend whose mother was a principal in the school system to get anything done about it.
Teresa, points fully taken, and we'll pick up the political side of this. I want to get a couple more listeners in here, if I may. David in Dover, Massachusetts. David, you're on the air. Thank you, Teresa. David, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm a pediatrician, and you know, I believe that gun control is important, but quite frankly, from my perspective as a pediatrician, I think the solution to this problem starts well before you get to the gun control issue. You know, as a pediatrician, I've been seeing so many kids with increasing anger, anxiety, depression between the ages of 5 to 15, and the single item that seems to be the most related to this, I mean, I think there's a lot of issues, but the most related thing is the overexposure to the media, television viewing at young ages, violent video games, desensitization. It's becoming a significant problem.
Depression and anger in to a degree that you can distinguish from an earlier generation?
Absolutely. You know, I have so many more kids, parents coming to me that, you know, my 7-year-old is out of control. They're throwing things all over the place. The school is calling me multiple times a week because they threw a chair in the classroom. Quite frankly, I think that the amount of media that our children are exposed to and adults as well has evolved beyond the point of our brains to be able to cope with that amount of hyperactivity, media, and violence.
Upstream from the guns themselves, but yet there may be a kind of a cycle here. Let us hold that one as well. David, one more, and I'll bring it to you, Julian. It's kind of in your court here. Mark in Orlando, Florida. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you this evening?
Well, I've been better.
I hear you. My biggest thing is, you know, I hear a lot of people blaming on a lot of different things, and I understand gun control, yes, we do need to improve that. But bottom line, guns don't kill people, like you've always heard. It's the people that kill people. And you can use a lot of different things, going back to Lizzie Borden, who killed her mother and father with an axe.
So what's going on? What's going on then?
I mean, bottom line is you've got a lot of biological mother and fathers and very few parents. And that is causing a big problem epidemic in our country. And it just...
What do you mean, few parents? I mean, there are, all these kids have parents.
Well... What I'm saying is that basically they're not parents. They're basically telling their kids to get out of their face, go do things, get out of the house, go play with your friend, go watch TV, go play these video games that are violent and so on. And they're not parenting. They're basically just having a child and not raising them. They're feeding them and basically giving them a roof over their head. And that's about it. And that's the extent of it.
Well, Mark, let us pick that one up as well. I mean, you may be right, but I know an awful lot of parents who love their kids and pour a lot into them, and their parents suffering tonight with those kids swept away. But Julian Ford, here you have a pediatrician saying he sees anger and depression and worries there's too much media that's just too harsh on young minds. Mark in Orlando, who just doesn't see the quality of parenting required. And then we'll come to the guns with John Rosenthal. But what about those upstream concerns, Julian?
Well, Tom, it's very clear that the pace of life, the intensity that we find in the media, but just in everyday life, it doesn't even have to go to the media. There's just a lot of ways in which all of us are operating in what we might call an alarm mode. We're on guard, we're on edge, not because of any specific danger necessarily, but because the pace is so intense. And that makes it very difficult for parents, even the most caring parents, to have those moments, those times where things are quiet enough so that the bond between the parent and child gets renewed, even the older child, the adolescent. So what we've got really is we've got a pace of life, and we've got a society where things are moving so fast that most of us can't really keep up with it. And even kids who are incredibly facile with the media, with the devices, they can't actually keep up with it in the sense that they are able to actually process.
But isn't this within our power to control? Can't we just simmer down a little bit? We don't have to, you know, be frantic all the time. We don't have to dance on the string of the media or anything else. We don't have to.
No question. Well, it's conversations like these that enable us all to step back and take a look. It shouldn't take a tragedy like this, but sometimes it does. And it's when we step back and actually reflect on what's important in our lives, not only what is dangerous and what needs to be sincerely looked at carefully, but what is fundamentally important and what we value in our lives. As trite as that may sound, that's actually what turns down the alarm in the brain. And that's exactly what is missing in many, many people's lives these days. It doesn't create violence, but it creates a kind of a pressure that then can turn into this sort of explosion of desperation that we're seeing all too repeatedly, as you've said.
Well, let's be mindful of that, what really matters and those values. John Rosenthal, here we have our Omaha caller saying, where's the political will? Gun control, she's right, was barely on the radar during the long, long presidential season. And then here's a listener writing online. Rob says, could this weapon, and he's talking about here about the assault rifle that was somewhere in this picture today, have been legally purchased if the federal assault weapon ban had been still in force?
Well, there were 19 weapons that were included in the federal assault weapon ban, and that ban came about as a result of a schoolyard shooting in 1989.
There you go.
Six elementary school kids were killed, 30 were wounded. Now, it took the courageous Congress back then 5 years to enact a ban on assault weapons after that massacre. But it only included 19 weapons, and it didn't include copycat weapons. So the gun manufacturers just simply changed the name This 223.
This is the assault rifle on the scene today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a military-style weapon, and it's capable of carrying 100 rounds. And the 223 round is literally designed. It's a military shell, and the civilian version is almost as powerful. It's basically the AR-15 civilian version or the M16 military version.
Yeah.
The round, that 223 caliber round, is designed to basically, once it enters the body, to bounce around when it hits bone. It's designed to do ultimate damage. Now,
I mean, well, we don't know which guns, I don't know at this moment, which guns were in the school today, but I am noticing this, that there were not many wounded taken to the hospital.
No.
It was mainly just dead. A couple died later, but most seem to have died on the scene.
And the Glock handgun seemed to be also capable of carrying, you know, 10 to 17 rounds. So he could fire off an awful lot at the same time. Now, the Republican Party, I mean, is literally owned by the NRA, and the Democrats, even the president, he couldn't even utter the words in the debate. Even the president is intimidated into submission.
By the NRA, or because Americans are not open to gun control? I mean, if it was popular, wouldn't any politician stand up and raise that flag?
No, I don't think so, because the gun industry is the only industry in America, by the way, that is unregulated. Toy guns have regulations. Real guns don't. They're being purchased by Wall Street companies. And the more here's the ugly
if
truth,
if the people,
Tom,
are behind you, why wouldn't a politician get in front of that parade?
The more gun violence, the more gun sales. The NRA and their supporters are perfectly happy to see massacres. Watch the spike in gun sales that'll start tomorrow. We can reduce the majority of injuries and deaths from guns, but why don't we just treat them like the inherently dangerous product that they are? Look, there's always been mental illness. There's always been, you know, there's video games and there's violence and there's insensitivity, but the common denominator in all these massacres is the firearm that's virtually unregulated, and parents don't have the gene to bury their children.
Julian Ford, give us a couple of words to share with the children of this country tonight as they head off to bed. What can we tell them?
We're going to take this seriously. We're not going to let things continue as they have. And we recognize that there is danger that we have not dealt with.
There's a message. I don't know how comforting it is, but it's a message for tonight. Julian Ford at the University of Connecticut, joining us from Unionville, Connecticut. Thank you very much, Julian, for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
And John Rosenthal from Stop Handgun Violence. Thank you very much for coming in, John.
Thanks, Tom.
Listeners, be well. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.